Thank you. Okay, Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6. Music has been very, very good. Real blessing. Okay, Isaiah 6, 1 through 8. Isaiah 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Okay, now also, if you would, look in Luke chapter 17. Luke 17, verse 7. Luke 17, verse 7. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by, when he has come from the field, Go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink. Doth he thank that servant, because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, We are unprofitable servants, we have done that which was our duty to do. Okay, let's pray. Lord, I do ask you to help us now to be faithful to your words. And Lord, I, Spirit of God, I pray you to give me the right words now at this right time with the right spirit. Lord, thank you for the music that's been a real blessing. And I pray it's been a blessing to thee. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to have just another little step to draw closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Proverbs 16, verse 2 says, Every way is clean in a man's own eyes. I want to preach about the pet sin of mankind this morning. This pet sin is rarely preached about, and none of us are exempt of it. No, none of us are free of this unique sin. This sin is a vice that everyone loathes when they see it in someone else, but hardly any people admit they're guilty of it. This pet sin, people will admit to many sins, but is rare when people admit to this one. And people rarely show the slightest mercy when they see it in others. There's no fault that makes a person more unpopular, and this fault we are more unconscious of in ourselves than any other. The more a person has it in himself, the more he dislikes it in somebody else. This sin is the foundational sin of all sins. This vice is the chief cause for misery of man, but it is a fault that is most loved by the person who holds it without realizing it has encompassed his heart. Since humility is the greatest virtue, and I do believe that, then the opposite of that is pride is the greatest vice. James 4, verse 6 shows that God resisteth the proud. He giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace unto the humble. 1 Peter 5, verse 5 says, Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. I want to give you some thoughts this morning about the pet sin of mankind, the sin of pride. It's a sin that you seldom, if ever, hear preached about. Pride is a vice that's in one's heart. The second occurrence of the word pride in the Bible is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 26. And this man repented of his pride and humbled himself. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 26. Notwithstanding, Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 5, again, shows that this sin of pride is in a person's heart. Proverbs 16, verse 5 says that everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination unto the Lord. Isaiah 9, verse 9 is another one that repeats that idea about pride being a matter of one's heart. In Isaiah 9, verse 5, it says, they say in the pride and stoutness of their heart. In Luke chapter 1, verse 51, it mentions that God will take somebody. He hath scattered the proud in the imaginations of their heart. Now, the reason why this is the greatest vice and it's the most difficult to admit, and it's the one that a proud person will love in himself more than anything, but yet despise it when they see it in somebody else, and the more they will despise it in somebody else, the more it has gripped their own heart, is because pride is a vice of the heart, and the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. So here, pride is like a serpent that is massaging a deceived heart, but that serpent will smother its prey when it's done with its victim. That's why in Job 41, verse 15, the description about Leviathan, it says, his scales are his pride. Pride is a vice of one heart. The second thing I want to tell you is that most people recognize pride in world leaders or politicians and despise it. The first occurrence of the word pride in the Bible is found in Leviticus chapter 26. I mean, the average American who has a thinking brain in their head despise politics, and a lot of them want nothing to do with politics. And of course, politics and political jokes are a constant thing that is in tune with people. People despise politics. They despise often kings because of the pride that these people demonstrate, and it's the power that they're craving. Leviticus 26, verse 19 says, I will break the pride of your power. It's interesting, if you would look in Isaiah 23, verse 9, and this one I'll slow down so you can look at it, but this one is a verse that reveals something that any of you have been in court will have been witness to this fact of the pride of the judge and attorney and the pride that politicians often have because they refer to themselves as your honor or honorable. And it's funny that when you mess up one little thing and doesn't please this bureaucrat, they will go off on you like a judge, and that judge will threaten you, and it is a threat because it's an illegal act what they're trying to threaten you with, and with the idea of being in contempt. Isaiah 23, verse 9, it says, the Lord of hosts hath purposed it to stain the pride of all glory and to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth. Now, if you want to see a grown man act like a two-year-old, if you want to see this demonstrated, go to any courtroom and don't stand when the judge comes in. You will see pride in action. Now, this is such a big thing that any of us associate this with politics. The reason why that is because there's an entire chapter in the Bible of the very first worldwide king who became so stuffed with pride that he was like a peacock, to the point where God had to humble this man, and you could tell that this man repented and got humbled because he is willing to tell the story of what happened to him. In Daniel chapter 4, a guy named Nebuchadnezzar was the first worldwide king, and Nebuchadnezzar got so filled out with himself, Daniel forewarned this character, Nebuchadnezzar, and then he went for 12 months where he humbled himself, but then one day it hit him, finally it hit him, and he said, "Is not this my kingdom that I had built?" Yeah, like he picked up a hammer and did the work. Well, at that moment, he was hit by a thunderbolt from God. He was hit by a spiritual thing that came down and put him in a funny house. I mean, this guy started eating animals like an ox. He started growing hair like a, you know, long, like cousin It on the Adams family. And he had fingers that grew out like claws. That's a scratch through all the lice. And they tried to find a funny farm to put this guy in. He was the king, and their funny farming rejected this guy, so they had to put him in a back 40 and feed this guy with hay and straw and all that stuff. Must have been barley green in a powder. Okay, but here this guy was back there, and he was the king at that time after 7 years of being a nut in a nut house, in a nut case, a wacko. I mean, a guy's out of his gourd. This guy said in Daniel chapter 4, his personal testimony, he said about the one in heaven, "He who walks in pride, he's able to abase." But the thing is that people who despise this pride that they see in others often have it in their own heart. How proud are you? And here's some things you can ask yourself. Do you dislike it when other people snub you or refuse to take any notice of you? Do you dislike it when people do not patronize you? You see, pride is a sin that is a sin of competition. I'm not saying competition is wrong, but pride is a sin that is a sin that is automatic competition. Each person's pride is in competition with everybody else's pride. It is because the person wanted, for example, if you get around a group of people and you see a person has the center of attention ever of everyone, and you are annoyed with that person, it's because you, of your pride, wanted the attention on you rather than that person. You see, and that's how the fact goes on that thing. If you're annoyed by that person because they're getting the focus of attention, it's because your pride is being made manifest. In the Old Testament, Korah and Dothan came and griped to Moses because Moses was in charge. Why did they gripe about that? It's because they wanted to be in charge. They didn't like what they thought was pride in Moses, but the pride was already squeezing their own heart. You see, pride is essentially competitive. Pride is competitive by its very nature. Other vices are competitive by accident. Pride gets no pleasure out of having something. It gets pleasure only out of having something more than the next person. You see, people often say, well, he's proud because he's rich, or he's good looking, or he's clever. No, the truth is, he's proud because he's richer. He's more clever than the next guy. He's better looking than others. Everyone else, you see, if everyone was equally rich, there would be nothing to be proud about. It is the comparison that makes one proud. 1 Corinthians warns us that we are not to compare ourselves. If we compare ourselves among ourselves, we're not wise. You see, the pleasure of pride is being above the rest. When the competition is gone, the pride is gone. Example, if two men desire the same girl, competition results by accident. But they could desire two separate girls, but a proud man will take the girl from the other one, not because he desires the girl, he just desires to prove himself better than the next guy. You see, greed may drive a man to competition, but the proud man, even when he has more than he possibly can handle or want, will try to get more just to assert his power. nearly all the evils of the world, greed, self-righteousness, selfishness, are the results of pride. There was a fellow in the Old Testament by the name of Haman, the number two man in charge, obviously the second most wealthiest man in the country, the king being number one, and this guy got all bent out of shape because one lowly Jew wouldn't stand up in respect to him. Why? Pride. He was better than that man, and he expected that man to do homage to him because he was worthy of the homage. You see, greed may drive a man to desire money for pleasure, but the wish to be richer than some other rich man, and still more, the wish is for power. That's why in Leviticus chapter 26, he says he's going to break the pride of their power. You see, there is nothing that makes a bureaucrat there's nothing about a bureaucrat that makes him more superior. The bureaucrat has an attitude of superiority over other people, the judge, the attorney. Their attitude is an attitude, the pride causes them to have an attitude of superiority over others because they have the ability and the power to move people like toy soldiers. You know, I hear about this stuff, you know, we're in Iraq. We should be in Iraq. No, it's not we, my friend. All these people in politics said, we need to be in Iraq. I don't see anybody over there in Iraq that's in the White House. I don't see anybody over there in Iraq who's in Congress. You know, I saw George Stephanopoulos when he was interviewing Ron Paul, and Georgie says, we need to be in Iraq. What do you mean, we? George, a lot of people can boldly talk about being in war when you're not the one in the front line. You see, the ones in the top can put people around like toy soldiers. And people who know the truth about these things despise those things in others. You see, these men, why do politicians constantly raise your taxes and go to unjust wars? It's because of pride. They're control freaks. They don't need to tax money. Any of us that knows the law and knows the truth, there's a thing called the comprehensive annual financial report. Well, they've got money coming out their ears. They don't need to raise the taxes, but what is the purpose of it? It's because of pride. Power, pride, the attitude is that I can move people around. Control over people. Oh, yes, we despise that in the ones at the top, but yet the ones at the bottom, men often control their wives. So they put their wife in a little box and don't give her any liberty to serve God. And that pride is the same pride as any bureaucrat that will send somebody else's child to fight a war someplace else, and if by chance their child was put in the service, they're put on the back under protective custody. You see, it's pride. Men often control their wives. You see, parents often control their children like little puppets. Granted, I understand a parent is supposed to discipline their children and train their children. But a parent that is stuffed up with pride is somebody that's going to try to manipulate and control their little puppets. And if their little puppet don't raise its hand when they pull the string, then their pride is going to be made evident. You see, proud men despise a king or a president who sends pawns to fight in a petty war, but the same man will force his wife to fulfill his every little whim and selfish desires. And then pawn it off as, well, I'm concerned for her. No, you're just trying to put somebody in a box because you're a control freak. You see, if there is one man or being more richer, more clever, more powerful than a proud man, that man or being becomes his rival and enemy. This is why that if you go to Moody Bible Institute or almost any, virtually any Christian school across this country, the reason why they subtly attack the King James Bible is because that book has more power, more wisdom than those men, and their pride is rising up, and that book becomes their competition. You see, pride, we despise pride in others, but we despise it more if the pride has been pushing on our hearts. Most people recognize pride in politics and despise it. The third thought I want to give you is pride is the chief cause of misery. If you would look in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 10. Proverbs 13, verse 10. Only by pride cometh contention, but with the well-advised is wisdom. Proverbs 28, verse 25. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. Now back in Proverbs 13, 10, how could you miss that? That's an absolute fact. When there is a contention, one or both parties has been infested with pride. Only by pride cometh contention. Other vices might bring people together. The vice of drunkenness. Drunks get together and enjoy each other's presence. But pride always causes enmity. Not just enmity between man and man or man and woman, but enmity between man and God. Because God is a superior being who is more clever, more richer, more good-looking than any proud man. Hence, God becomes the competition. In God's word, the proud man comes against, in every respect, someone who is superior to himself. But you see, a proud man cannot know God because a proud man is always looking down on other people. He does not look up. He's always looking down. If there's no contention with a proud man, it's because a humble person has given themselves over to the selfish desires of the proud man. The credit goes to the humble, not to the proud. But even a humble person has his or her limits, and contention will ensue. Children will often side with the underdog unless pride has bitten their heart also. Pride is the chief cause of misery. The fourth thing is pride is a satanic sin. If you would look in Job chapter 41, verse 34. Job 41, verse 34. This is a natural description of Lucifer or Leviathan. Job 41, verse 34. He beholdeth all high things. He is a king over the children of pride. If you would look in Psalms 10, this psalm is a psalm about the Antichrist. Psalms 10. Psalms 10, verse 2, it says, the wicked in his pride doth persecute the poor. Let them be taken in the devices that they have imagined. For the wicked boasteth of his heart's desire and blesseth the covetous, whom the Lord abhorreth. The wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Now, when a proud man claims to believe in God, he is worshiping an imaginary God. He is really imagining how God approves of him and thinks him far better than the ordinary person. You see, this is the attitude that people often get. Now, here's a test you can take and check your own heart. Whenever you feel or you find that your religious beliefs make you feel good, above all that you are better than someone else, you may be assured that the king of the children of pride is massaging your heart. The real test when you are in the presence of God is that you either forget about yourself altogether or you see yourself as a dirty object, like Isaiah. The idea is that what you believe in your belief system, whatever that is, if you believe that that makes you better than the next guy, pride is massaging your heart. What do I mean? I mean, if you go to a charismatic church, they will demonstrate their pride by speaking in tongues. And then they'll look at you about you speaking in tongues and you don't have that. Oh, that's terrible. We're so much better, more spiritual than you. Do the Bible believers, are they been stuffed up with pride? Oh, yes. We at least are following the right Bible. You know, that puts us above the rest. I'm not so certain about that. And when a person thinks that they're above the rest, that serpent of pride is massaging their heart. You see, most other vices come through one's animal nature. You know, lust, fornication, greed. It's coming through your animal nature of self-preservation, self-propagation, self-gratification. Pride comes directly from Satan. It's a spiritual sin. Pride can beat down other vices. Pride can beat down other virtues. For example, a teacher may appeal to the child's self-respect to get him to behave properly. But this is nothing but directing to his pride. You see this often in schools, Christian institutions, where they have rules, where the child is to behave these rules and obey these rules. And you go to the school and you see these children obeying these rules. Yes, you're supposed to have rules, but you see, why are they obeying those rules? They're appealing to their self-respect. They're appealing to their pride. You see, why does a person go street preaching? Oh, because we're above those people? Does it make you feel better than somebody else? Or are you out there to please God? You see, pride can lead you to do the right thing. Satan is perfectly fine with chastity and morality when it is fulfilled through one's pride. You see, you have little Mormon boys going around and they look good, they look clean, and they got pride that they don't drink tea or caffeine, or they got their holy underwear on and all that stuff. Their pride is keeping them chaste and moral, but their pride is going to take them to hell. Now, a lot of times people, because they can't recognize humility properly, they got a messed up viewpoint of what pride is or what pride is not. Pride is not the pleasure that you receive when you're praised for doing the right thing. That's not pride. That's not pride in itself. You see, the Bible even teaches us that Jesus Christ is going to say to the servant, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But yet the attitude of the servant should be, I'm an unprofitable servant. I'm just doing what I was told. You see, the pleasure that a child receives in the praise from their parents, that's not pride in itself. That's a good thing. The pleasure is not what you are, but in fact that you please someone that you are rightfully to please. Now, is the attitude like this? If the attitude is, I have pleased him, I have pleased my parents, I have pleased them, all is well. Or is the attitude, I have pleased him because I am a fine person? That's when pride has come in. You see, the more you delight in yourself and the less you delight in the praise, the more prideful you are becoming. When you delight wholly in yourself and not in the praise at all, you have reached the bottom. You see, vanity is an interesting thing. Vanity is a sort of pride, but vanity is also a sort of a humble, childlike way of getting attention. It is a sort of pride which shows most in the service is really the least bad. The vain person wants praise. He wants applause. He wants admiration. And the admiration too much, and it's always angling, this person is always angling for it, but it's to a fault. This would be a fault. This is like your child. When your child says, "Mommy, look at me, watch me, what I can do." You see, that's a childlike way of getting vanity or being vain. It's childlike, and in an odd way, it's a humble fault. You see, it shows that a person is not completely contented with their own admiration. Galatians chapter 6, verse 4 shows that the admiration that we should seek first, obviously, is the Lord, but yet you're going to have to get to a point where what you do is going to please your God, in essence, please yourself. You may not please other people. Galatians 6, verse 4 says, "But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another." You see, a vain person is a person who values other people enough that they want them to look at you. That's human. That's human nature. Now, a real diabolical, proud individual is someone who looks down on others and don't care what others think of them. You see, their attitude is, "I don't care what they think of me because I'm above them. And besides, they can't even think the right thing. I'm the one that should do the thinking for them." You see, the right attitude of someone is not to try to please man. You're trying to please God. But the proud man cares nothing for the approval or applause of someone they look down on. The mob to the proud man is nothing. Chattel. Another thing, sometimes people say, "Well, I'm proud of him." Okay, we say that a man is proud of his son. Well, generally speaking, when a person says, "I'm proud of so-and-so," that would mean that they have a warm-hearted admiration, or they're pleased with them. You know, the Bible way of saying it would be, "I'm pleased with you." That's what God said about Jesus Christ. I'm not saying a person is wrong when they say, "Well, I'm proud of so-and-so." We understand what they mean by that. Even though in the Bible, the word pride definitely has a negative connotation. And in fact, if you go over to this high school over here, if the picture's still in the gym, on one end, they'll have "Devil Pride" written right there. But still at that, even when somebody would say, "I'm proud of so-and-so," most of the time, we understand that what they're meaning is, "I'm pleased with their behavior." We must not think that pride is something that God forbids because he is offended at it, or humility is something that he demands as do his dignity. I don't think God is worried about his dignity. He wants you to know him. And if you get in touch with God, you will be delightfully humble. You see, what God wants is you to take off your silly facade, your facade of spirituality, your facade of trying to think that you're holy. He wants you to take off this silly facade that you've been strutting around like a little idiot, trying to make yourself good, and he wants you to put that off and get a real humility of drawing close to him. He wants you to get rid of this false self and attention that people often have. Now, people often think, "Well, what is it going to be like if I meet a humble person?" Do not imagine if you really meet a humble man, he will be like what most people call humble. He will not be sort of a greasy or a fakey or a, you know, a person that's always telling you how unworthy he is. You know, "Of course I'm a nobody and God, you know, I'm going to make something." Well, no, he will seem to be a cheerful, intelligent person who will take a real interest in what you say. If you dislike him, it will be because you feel envious towards him because he seems to enjoy life so easily. A humble man will not be thinking about himself. Now, what is this thing about pride? How do we overcome this? Well, the first step to repentance on pride is to realize that you're proud. The second step is at least nothing else can be done until you realize that. If you think that you're not conceited, you probably are. You see, and here's God's resistance of a proud man. If you would, run through several verses in Proverbs chapter 11. Or through Proverbs. Chapter 11, verse 2 is the first thing. God will not save a proud man. God will not walk with a proud man. God resisteth a proud man. And here's how far it goes. Proverbs 11, verse 2. When pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. Proverbs 15, 25. The Lord will destroy the house of the proud, but he will establish the border of the widow. Proverbs 16, verse 5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. Proverbs 16, verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Proverbs 29, verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. What is the sin that causes a man to reject Christ? It's pride. But yet then he will take his pride and go to some religious center and think, oh, I'm better than the next guy. God certainly won't forbid me to come into heaven because I am better than those people. That's pride. And then the Christian who has trusted Christ as Savior, as that serpent comes back and starts massaging their heart, when they try to live a holy life, yet their heart is massaged by pride, and that heart will say, oh, you're trying to do the right thing to please your Creator. Aren't you a fine fellow? And that serpent will massage that heart, and this fine fellow, someday that heart will be squeezed to death like a python squeezing its prey because they've been trusting their pride to live a holy life. You see, pride is a satanic, subtle thing that's a matter of the heart. And a person must realize that we've all can be bit by pride. And come to the Savior of Jesus Christ and walk with the Savior. And in the presence of the High and Holy One, when you draw in the presence of Him, humility will flood out and you will have a joy and a peace of drawing close with your Savior that will give you a joy and realize you're so unworthy to be in His presence. But that's what God is looking for. Pride is the greatest vice. Humility is the greatest virtue. Let's pray. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to analyze ourselves. Help us to realize the pride that we can easily have. The pride as people look down on others. A proud man always criticizing others. Always tearing down. It's a pride is a sin of competition where the proud person will compete with somebody else they think's above them. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to recognize this sin, this satanic sin, this heinous sin that can easily massage our hearts and pull us away from our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, and forfeit a walk with Him. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to remember the great admonition that we are to humble ourselves in the sight of the Lord, and in due time, He shall lift thee up. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. This matter of pride, a person who is filled with pride despises it more than anything when they see it in others. Pride. It's a terrible thing. I is right in the middle of the word. Pride. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. The instruments plays. The altar's open. A man will not receive Jesus Christ because of his pride. his pride. A believer will not admit they're wrong because of their pride. A person will not humble themselves to any authority because of their pride. The authority will try to take their authority and beat it down their throat, justifying themselves to say, I'm an authority, I have the right. That's your pride. Pride is a competitive sin. And ultimately, the sin of pride is competing against God himself. Lucifer, the number two in charge, the one who led the angels at one day singing praise and glory to the number one God. Pride is what's taken him down. He's competing with God himself. A proud person can oppress the poor and justify themselves saying, they're not worthy of it. I have a right to do it. I am in the authority. And they're chattel anyway. Pride is a heinous sin. Lord, I do pray you'd help us to recognize this sin of pride, this sin of pride that massages one's heart. And Lord, I pray you'd help us to draw into the presence of thee and realize in your presence the joy and the peace that you do give. And Lord, how you will fight a proud man. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us to be faithful to thee and humble ourselves and be a blessing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay.